puts him in tough coat pay, in stiff cotton tests, he writes as follows. Kosav Hatanya Rabosa, a volume known as Tanya Rabosa writes, Beyom Hashishi Parshas Chukas, on the Friday of Parshas Chukas, Noagu Yechidim Lehistanos, it is a custom of certain individuals to fast. Shebeyoso Hayom, because on that day, Nisrafu Kof Koronos Meleim Svarim Bitsorifas, 20 wagons laden with Svarim, Talmud, etc., were burnt in France. But the fast is not kept on its calendar date. Because when this event took place, the rabbis asked of HaKadosh Baruch Hu through a She'elas Chalom as to why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had brought this terrible tragedy on our people. And no dalohem, it was informed, sheyom haparsha goreim, that in fact it was not the calendar date which was crucial, but the fact that it was Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. Because when they asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu through the Chalom why it was that this tragedy had come upon our people, the answer which came out was, Do Gezeiras Dioraisa, which is the Targum of those Chukas HaTorah. In fact, this event took place in 1244 on the 9th of Tammuz. Worthwhile noting that this year the 9th of Tammuz is Erev Shabbos. Now this is something which you may recall I did bring to your attention last year. But I think it might be worthwhile mentioning this evening a very unusual P.S. to this particular event, and this P.S. is found in the letters of Rabbi Hillel Mizorona, who is one of the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbi Hillel Mizorona writes that the place where these Sforim were burnt is the exact same place where the Mora Nevuchim of the Rambam was burnt by those people who considered it to be an unacceptable volume to be received amongst our people. And as a result of the events of 1244, the rabbis realized what a sin they had committed by publicly burning the Mora Nevuchim, as a result of which all the machlokes which centered around that particular volume came to a close. And this is something which is not so very well known. Then it was the Mora Nevuchim, now it's the Yerev. There's always something to keep the pot boiling. Okay. Or the appropriate rabbinic phrase. Let me then bring our shiur to a commencement by noting, as I have already done, that the opening section of our Parsha, Zos Chukas HaTorah, refers to none other than the Parsha of Poro Aduma. Now, it is important to recognize that the Parsha of Poro Aduma, although it is found in Parshas Chukas, according to the Gemara in Gittin, was one of many parshios which were given to the Jewish people on the day that the tabernacle was erected, on the first of Nisan, the second year after we went out of Mitzrayim. This statement of the Gemara seems to be an apparent contradiction to a statement made by Rashi in Parshas Bishalach. Because on the words in Parshas Bishalach, Shom Somlo Chok Umishpot Vishom Nisahu, says Rashi there that they were given certain mitzvos in Morah prior to Matan Torah, and the mitzvos that they were given were Shabbos, Dinin, and Poro Aduma. As you know, there is a different reading. Some people have Kibud Avoim instead of Poro Aduma, but the consensus of opinion is that Poro Aduma was given in Moro. So the question is, how do we reconcile these two statements? The statement of the Gemara that Poro Aduma was given on the day that the tabernacle was dedicated, on the 1st of Nisan, and the statement by Rashi that Poro Aduma was given in Moro. The answer is quite simple. As the Ramban points out there in Parshas Beshalach, when Rashi says that they were given these parshios in Moro, it was Kidei Sheyis Asku Bohen, so that they should busy themselves in learning about them. In other words, if you are asking me, when was the Inyan of Poro Aduma introduced as a practical reality, as a ritual to be observed, as a mitzvah? Then the answer will be, it was introduced on the day that the tabernacle was erected. When was Poro Aduma as a parsha to be discussed and to be studied, but not halacha lemaisa, when was that introduced into our people? The answer will be in Moro. Now, we have to ask ourselves the following question. We can understand the idea why Shabbos would be introduced as a text to be studied prior to Matan Torah, because after all, Shabbos is one of the Ikrei Emunah. Kisheshes Yomim Oso Hashem Es Hashemayim Es Haaretz. I can understand why Dinin would be introduced in order to remind us, and we need constant reminder, that Yiddishkeit is not only about Bein Adam LaMokum, it's also about Bein Adam LaChaveru. But why was the Inyan of Poro Aduma, which seems such an esoteric theme compared to the rest of Torah, why was the Inyan of Poro Aduma given already in Moro? And the answer to that question will be found in the Emes LeYaakov. It's about halfway down. The basic Inyanim. Says Reb Yaakov Kamenetsky, Sheparshas Poro Aduma Nitno V'Moro Od Kodem Kabbalas HaTorah. The Parsha of Poro Aduma was introduced before we received the Torah. Ubiur Hadavarhu. And the explanation of this phenomenon is as follows. Mishum Sheparsha Zu. Because the Parsha of Poro Aduma is Me'ein Hachona LeKabbalas HaTorah. It is the most appropriate preparation for the giving of the Torah. Why? V'hainu, the reason is, Sheparsha Zu, this Parsha, Melamda Sonu teaches us, Shekemo Sheparshas Poro Aduma Eino Muvenes Lanu. In the same way as the Parsha of Poro Aduma is a total mystery to us. Shaharehi Mitamas Tehorim Umitaheres Temeim. It's the ultimate enigma. It's Mitaya Temeim and Mitame Tehorim. So as far as looking for a rationale is concerned, we cannot possibly understand the rationale. Shlomo HaMelech also was not able to understand it. So why do we keep Poro Aduma? There can only be one reason. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us to keep it. And therefore, in giving us the Inyan of Poro Aduma prior to Matan Torah, it is as if to say, Kemochein, likewise you should know, that Kol Dinei HaTorah, that the reason why you are going to keep the rest of the Torah, is Machmas Ritzono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants it. Ugezeiro Sovan, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu decrees. V'yafilu Heim Nogdim Es HaSeicher. And even if a mitzvah seems to contradict logic, that is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and in the final analysis, the reason why we keep mitzvahs is not because they make sense to us, not because we appreciate their rationale, but because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us that that's what we have to do. V'lochein, and therefore, Kodem Shenitna Torah, prior to the giving of Torah on Har Sinai, Hoyome Hatzorech, it was necessary to lay down this basic axiom. Shekola Torah hi begeder chok umishmat. So therefore, if you're asking, says Rabbi Yaakov, why it is that Poro Aduma was given in Moro, it was to tell us that in the final analysis, we have to keep every mitzvah of the Torah which we are to receive on Har Sinai in the same way as we observe the ritual of Poro Aduma. The same way as in regard to Poro Aduma, the only way that we can be keeping it is not because we understand it, because we don't. The reason why we keep it is only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been mitzaveh, Likewise, the only way we are to keep the mitzvot of the Torah is because they are given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that only is the reason for their observance. And it is quite interesting that the Or HaChaim HaKadosh says exactly the same thing on the opening words of our parsha. Zos chukas haTorah. Why is it not chukas haPorah? This is the statute of the Torah, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, as is explained by Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal in the Sichos Musar. Zos chukas haTorah, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, is to tell you that in the same way as you keep the Inyan of Purim Aduma as a chukah, as a statute, as something without a reason, but merely because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has commanded it, zos chukas haTorah. You have to keep the entire Torah in the same way. And this is extremely important, and I cannot emphasize it enough. Because you know and I know that there is a vast literature, starting with the Rambam in Mora Nevuchim, and certainly followed by the Sefer HaChinuch, where we are looking all the time for Tamim, reasons for mitzvos, or as the Chinuch calls it, the Shoresh HaMitzvah. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, you should be under no misapprehension. Let there be no misunderstanding. If you want to look for a reason for a mitzvah, you are perfectly entitled to do so. And there are many famous rabbis who have done so in centuries and millennia past. But you should never forget that all this investigation into reasons for mitzvos is in the area of academia. When it comes to the actual performance of the mitzvah, why are you keeping it? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we have to. Because once the reason you are giving for a mitzvah becomes the dominant, then the mitzvah is no longer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but your own reason. Because you are keeping it because it makes sense to you. And the mitzvah must always be exclusively HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, in the final analysis, after all your investigation, after all that you have pondered on any mitzvah, and you have suggested various reasonings, in the final analysis, when you come to perform the actual mitzvah, you have to say, Hineni muchen mezumen lakayim mitzvah asei, shetzivoni haborach, etc. The very, very important item. Tamei HaMitzvos as academic study should not be confused with the fact that mitzvos have to be kept in their entirety as chukim. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, and that's how we must respond. He then goes on to say that because Poro Aduma was given as an introduction to Kabbalah HaTorah, it should come as no surprise that in the course of Poro Aduma, we find a sentiment being expressed which appears to belong more to the first paragraph or the second paragraph of the Shema than to the union of Poro Aduma. Because in the course of the Parsha it says, Zos HaTorah Adam Kiyomus Be'ohel. This is the law if a person dies in the tent. And you'll see on the top at the beginning of the Yemesh LeYaakov, on those words, there is a very famous Gemara. Minayin shein divrei Torah miskayimim ela b'mishamei misatzmo aleho. From where do we know that the study of Torah can only be achieved by those people who are willing, as it were, to die for the study of Torah? Shneimar zos haTorah adam kiyomus ba'ohel. If you want to achieve Torah, you've got to be prepared kiyomus ba'ohel. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky asks, surely this should have been in the Parsha of Vishinantum Levonecha. It's telling you the importance of learning with total commitment. Says Rabbi Yaakov, no. Because since we have already discovered that the Parsha of Poro Aduma was given in Mora as a hachana to Kabbalah HaTorah, it is essential that two important axioms be laid down. One which we've already mentioned, how we are to approach the observance of the mitzvos as chukah. And number two, how to achieve success in learning Torah. learning Torah and achieving success in learning Torah can only be established by an individual who is willing to give every ounce of energy and time, because it can never, as a casual study, reward the student with any type of success. So those two basic messages are contained here. Okay, now let us move on. After the Parsha of Poro Aduma, we then come to the Parsha dealing with the death of Miriam. And that is in Perek Chav, Pasuk Aleph. And here a number of most beautiful inyonim will emerge. Vayovau v'nei Yisrael kol ho'eda midbar tzin b'chudish harishon v'yeshev ha'om b'kodesh v'atomos shom Miriam v'tikover shom. Says Rashi, v'tikov v'atomos shom Miriam. Now Rashi has a shaila. You know and I know that Miriam died long, long after the Parsha of Poro Aduma was given to the B'nai Yisrael. Because in reality, the Parsha of Poro Aduma was given at the time when the tabernacle was consecrated, and Miriam died tens of years later. So the shaila which Rashi raises is, Lama nismecha Parshas Misas Miriam le Parshas Poro Aduma? Why is it that the Parsha telling us of the death of Miriam is placed next to the Parsha of Poro Aduma? Lomar lecha, to inform you, ma korbonos mechaprim, in the same way as korbonos atone, or another text is ma poro aduma mechaperes, in the same way as poro aduma atones, af misas sadikim mechaperes, likewise does the death of righteous people atone. So that's the reason why they are both put next to each other. Now, what I want to draw your attention to is a sefer that we have not referred to very often in the past, the Ponim Yofos. The Ponim Yofos, who is also the author of the famous sefer Hafla on Ksubis, Pinchas Halevi Horowitz Zatzal, who of course is one of the teachers of the Chasam Sofer. And I've chosen one or two sections from his work because these are items of great beauty. Vayovau b'nei Yisrael v'tomos shom Miriam, and Rashi says Lomo nismecha misas Miriam l'parshas poro aduma Lomo lecha ma korbonos mechaprim af misas tzadikim mechaprim. Says the Ponim Yofos, yesh lahavin, we now have to investigate, Lomo lo nismecha l'parshas she'ar korbonos. So if you want to tell me that the death of a tzadik atones in the same way as korbonos atone, so why put it dafka next to the korban of Poro Aduma? You could have put it next to so many other korbonos. Why was the point being made dafka through Poro Aduma? You could have put it next to all the korbonos in Parshas Vayikra and Parshas Tzav. Why put it next to Poro Aduma? See the answer that he gives. In Yono, the answer is as follows. Sha'omru, our rabbis have told us, Hatzadik Ovad, if a tzadik dies, Lidoro Ovad, he dies and he is lost to his generation, meaning the generation suffer. Mipenei Shahad Tzadik Meidin Alador, a tzadik defends the generation, he protects them through his righteousness. V'yal yodo, and through the tzaddik, bo hashefa hatov olachol hador, all goodness comes to the world through that particular individual. He is the conduit. Kamosha kosov, as the Gemara tells us in Brochas, kol ha'olam kulo nizon bishvil chananya b'ni. All the world is fed because of Chananya b'ni, or as the Baal Shem Tov says, the word bishvil does not mean because, but bishvil means through the conduit, because a shvil can be a pathway. Shvil azov, right? So bishvil Chanina b'ni, that in reality it is Chanina who is the conduit for all good. V'gam nevi or gogelu kedusha rabo, and the tzaddik when he is alive brings great light and great holiness, lechol ho'anoshim hamiskadishim umetaharim, to all those people who are on themselves on a high madrega, Ukamosha Kosov, and in confirmation of this fact we know, Kishaowa Eliyahu Lamala, when Eliyahu went up to heaven, the Gemara says, Nismayet Hanevua Min Hanevim. Already prophecy began to be diminished amongst the Nevi'im. So when the Navi dies, when the Tzaddik dies, those righteous people of the generation, they suffer. There is a lessening of Kedusha in the world. The Yomru and the Rabbi say, Mishemes Shimon HaTzadik, from the day that Shimon HaTzadik died, Nimnu HaKohanim Ilevorech B'Shem. Kohanim no longer had the right to use the Shem HaMeforosh in Birchas Kohanim, because when Shimon HaTzadik died, the level of sanctity in the world diminished. Demisas Tzadikim. So what do we see? That the death of righteous people, afshehi mechaperes al ador, even though it atones for the generation, v'yayidei misoso, and through the death of the righteous individual, matzil harbei reshoim shenis chayevu miso, kimavur bezohar, there is also tremendous advantages to reshoim. The Zohar HaKadosh says that when the tzaddik dies, many reshoim who should have died are saved from death. Now look what happens here. So when you look unto the death of a tzaddik, you discover that it brings great goodness to evil people. Many of them who would have died otherwise had the tzaddik not died. But now that the tzaddik has died, they have been saved from death. Aval ra gedola hi eitzel kishele hador. But on the other hand, it has a negative consequence for many righteous people in the generation. So what do we discover? A most extraordinary phenomenon. Misa Sadikim is comparable to the Poro Aduma. In the same way as the Poro Aduma is metame tahorim and metahir temeim, it brings tumma to those who are pure and brings purity to those who are unclean. The Misa Tzadikim does likewise. It brings benefit to the Rishoyim and brings negative consequences to Tzadikim. Because the people who are miskadishim and who are mitaharim, they suffer as a result of the fact that the quality and quantity of kedushim in the world has been lessened. And therefore, as he goes on to say, so you see that the death of the righteous brings goodness to reshoyim gemurim, who themselves were deserving of death. But it also brings a very, very negative consequence to those kisherim shebador. For who kein haporo? And that is similar to the poro aduma. Shemetaheles es atameim umetamas es atahor. Because you would have thought something is metaher tahorim, metame tameim. But the poro aduma brings the negative to those who are tahor and the positive to those who are tamei. So it is with Misa Tzadikim. It brings a negative phenomenon, a negative consequence to those who are tahorim, like fellow tzadikim. And it also brings a tremendous positive benefit to those people who are tameim, as it were, reshoyim gemurim. So that he suggests the Ponem Yofos is the reason why the Miso of Tzadikim is dafka compared to the Poro Aduma. I should mention, before we go on to the main section of our Sidra, I should mention that the Torah Tamima has a very beautiful interpretation of why we would put the Miso of Miriam as Mechaperes next to the Inyan of Poro Aduma. And he says as follows. If we come upon a statement which says that the death of righteous people brings a positive benefit to all the generation, it can only be because Kol Yisrael Arevim Zevozeh. All Jews are considered as interresponsible, one responsible for the other. So if one sadness happens to one part, it is considered to be a benefit to the other part. But it can only take place because of Arevus, because of this interresponsibility. But, says the Torah Tamima, it is well known in Halacha that women are not included in Arevus. Noshim einam bichlal Arevus. The Tzlach says so in a Rosh in Brochus, and it's got many halachic consequences. So therefore he says, I can understand when a righteous man passes away, that we would say the Miso of Tzadikim is Mechaperes,
but that a woman should die? And the myth that Miriam should be Mechaperes? It doesn't make sense. Where's the logic? Compared to Poro Aduma, you don't know the logic of Poro Aduma either. This is equally something which you don't understand, but which is a fact. Zos chukas haTorah. So therefore, Dafke, the miso of Miriam, is put next to the inyan of Poro Aduma, so that you should know that even though it doesn't seem to conform to any halachic maxim, nevertheless, it is a fact, and this particular inyan applies to women as well as to men. What we come to now is, of course, the central feature of the Parsha, and that is the inyan of May Mariva. And here we have a number of fascinating inyanim to uncover. In the Sefer Shaar Yaharon, which gathers together all the classic Meforshim, he brings no less than 25 different versions of exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu did wrong. Needless to say, or more correctly, I hasten to add, we are not going to have a look at the 25. We'll have a look at one this evening and see one or two ramifications. And what I would like to have a look at this evening is the interpretation of the Chet of May Mariva as found in the Rambam, in the Mora Nevuchim. In the Shmuel Parokim. And here you'll find it quoted in the Ramban. On the left-hand side of the page, the Ramban is in two columns, in the Chumashim, and in the middle of the right-hand column, you'll have the words for Harav Rebbe Moshe. El Pasuk Svicha, Pasuk Ches. For Harav Rebbe Moshe. Let me go through. For Harav Rebbe Moshe, Stoval Bosvoro. Says Nachmanides, that the Rambam has a suggestion to make regarding the sin of May Mariva. The Omar. And the Rambam says as follows, Ki Moshe Rabbeinu Olav HaShalom, that in regards to Moshe Rabbeinu, Chet Ohu, his sin was, Shenoto Litzad Horagzonus. He inclined towards anger. The Omro, when he said, Shimu Uno Hamorim, listen here you rebels. Says the Rambam, Moshe Rabbeinu's sin was his anger. Is dictate olav Hashem Yisborach. HaGadosh Baruch Hu was particular with him. Sheyihye Adam komohu ko'eis lifnei adas b'nei Yisrael, that a man of his stature should be angry in front of an entire people, b'mokom she'ein ro'ui bo hakas. In a situation where anger was most inappropriate and certainly unnecessary. As Rabbeinu Nissim explains, the Rambam is of the opinion that it's not only anger, it is anger at an entire people. Because as you know, the nation has a different status than a collection of individuals. The nation has a sanctity all on its own. And for Moshe Rabbeinu to be angry with the entire people, that was something which was unacceptable to a person on the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'chol cheyotze bezeh bedin ho'ish hahu, and anything similar to becoming angry with the people is chilul hashem. It's a chilul hashem. Why? Mipenei, the answer is, Shemitinu osav kulam, umidvarav hayulomd. Because when people see a man like Moshe Rabbeinu, everything that he says and every movement that he makes becomes a classic. They look on him, they listen, they emulate him, they imitate him. What better living force could one have in the area of Shmiras HaMitzvos? And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu is the prototype, he is the exemplar par excellence. So people look to him. V'hoyu mekavim lahagia bohem el hatzlochos ha'olam hazeh v'ha'olam haba. And people are following every movement of Moshe Rabbeinu, thereby hoping to have success not only in this world but in the world to come. They follow his every movement. V'yeich yeiro'eh olav hakah. So how is it possible that a person like that should have anger?
Vehumena Peulos Horoos, and that is one of the most despicable characteristics. Philosovelki imitechuna ra mitechunus hanevish. That is a type of attribute which is associated with a person whose soul is of a lowly type. So anger in an ordinary individual is one thing. It's certainly not praiseworthy. But when you have someone who is held up as an example by an entire people, if they do something wrong, then that sets such a bad example for the rest of the people, and that is a chilul Hashem. Now, that's the first thing. Avol, amorovo, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says about Moshe Rabbeinu, after this episode, Merisem Pi, you rebelled against my mouth. Now what does that mean? I've told you first of all that there is anger. And the anger is the root cause of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's displeasure at the episode of Meimaribo. But what do the words, Al Hashem Merisem Pi, because you rebelled against my mouth, says the Rambam, Hu Kamosha Ava'er, it is now I will explain. Shehu lo hayom midaberim sichlim velo imi she'en lo maila. Please remember, says the Rambam, who is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to? A rabble? A group of stupid people? He says he is speaking to a nation. Aval isha ketan oshe b'nesheyem hayasak yecheskel ben buzi kemoshe zochlo hachachomim. The average woman was on a madrega higher than the prophet Ezekiel. You're speaking to a gathering of Jews that we've never had and maybe never will have again. A most extraordinary gathering. A collection of people. The women, Ishi says, Isha Kitana Shevinishayim. Even the most, or most, more correctly, even the least elevated, was superior to Yecheskel. V'chol ma'ase yomar, so whatever Moshe Rabbeinu says, or yaseh, or does, yivchanu, they put it under the microscope. Doesn't just pass over their head. No, okay, didn't like the drosha. No, no, they're looking, they're listening, they're watching, they're examining. V'kasher ra'uhu sheko, as an agent of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he is expressing the displeasure of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the truth of the matter is, on this occasion, that is wrong. Va'anachnu lo motzonu l'ashem yis'ale sheko'as bidavro elov vozeh ha'inyan. And the truth of the matter is, we do not find in connection with this whole episode that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry. Aval omar, all HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu was, kach et ha'mateh, take the stick, v'hakel es o'edo, and assemble the people, atol v'yaharon ochicha, you and Aaron your brother, v'dibartem el ha'sel alieneihem, and speak to the rock in front of their eyes, v'nosan me'mav, and it will give its waters, v'hotseis olahem mayim in ha'sel, when you will bring forth water from the rock, v'hishkisu es o'edo v'yesbi'iram, and you will then water the, give water to the congregation and their cattle. Merisem Pi, says the Rambam, is not to be translated as we did it in the Queen's English, you have rebelled against my mouth. It is to be explained and translated as, you have misrepresented me. You have become angry, and therefore you have conveyed the mistaken impression to the Jewish people that I am angry. And that is not true. So Merisem Pi has nothing at all to do with rebelling against my mouth. It has to do with misrepresentation. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not angry, and therefore by your anger you gave that mistaken impression that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was, and that is unacceptable. And then goes on to say that now we have resolved this particular matter and now we know what the sin was. Let me suggest a different interpretation based on the Rambam, which will lead to some fascinating insights. We have Rav Avrom Gurovitz, the Gates of Rosh Hashiva, gives over, in the name of his Zayd, Rav Elia Lopian, Zeichet Tzadik Levrocha, a very beautiful interpretation as to how Ka'as is the source, according to the Rambam, and Merisem Pi can be translated in a slightly different way. He says like this, Rav Elia, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, assemble the people, vidibartem el asela, and speak to the rock. Says Rabbi Elia, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant was not casual conversation, vidibartem el asela. Vidibartem el asela means it has to be a dibur of nevuah. There's only one type of speech which is going to be effective, and that's going to be the dibur of nevuah. An ordinary casual comment by you and me is not going to change anything. If it says vidibartem el asela, it must mean a dibur of nevuah. There's only one problem, and that is, when a person becomes angry, kol hakoes, says the Gemara, im novihu nivuoso mistalekes mimenu. If he is a novi, then his nevuah goes away from him. Dim chochom chochmoso mistalekes mimenu. So what do we see, says Rebellion? Ein achinami, it should have been sufficient for him to speak to the rock, and then there would have been a dibur shel nevuah. But since he became angry, and now that he is angry, so nevuah has disappeared, so dibur will not help, says Rebellion, so he had to hit the rock. I got a bit of a shaila on this particular interpretation of rebellion, and that is, as I've just indicated, in the same way as ordinary dibur was not meant to cause the rock to give forward the water, you and I would talk to the rock from the Haimpazakas Ayamim, nothing would happen. It's going to be a dibur shel nevuah. In the same way, you and I would hit the rock too from the Haimpazakas Ayamim, also wouldn't do very much. So I want to know, how come that when he hit the rock, it worked? Because if the dibur was no dibur shel nevuah because he was in kaas, then the smiting of the rock was also not done by nevuah. So that's the question that we have to look in. And Baruch Hashem, I found an answer in the Toras Chaim to Bava Metzia. And what I enjoy so much in preparing the shiurim, I have to tell you, I've never made this comment before, is the, what was somebody once called, not irreverently, the cross-fertilization. Divrei Torah aniyim b'mokam echad, ashirim b'mokam achir. When you look and you, all of a sudden you come upon something, it's like all of a sudden it's like there's a light. And we'll see here how a Torah Chaim talking about something completely different to begin with will resolve the question that we've just raised. Says the Torah Chaim, the Gemara says as follows. It's a phenomenon that we come across very often in the Talmud. Kol makom shenostan bo Rabbi Eliezer einov nitzvah. That's what the Gemara in Bava Metzia, Nuntes. Wherever Rabbi Eliezer started to gaze, it became burnt by fire. It was consumed. He had that koach. Says the Telas Chaim, the Kamaduchte, in many places, Eshkechon, we discover, Shehoyo koach biyad hachachomim hagedolim, that chachomim, the great chachomim, had the power, le'enosh, to punish, bira'os eineihem, by looking at something. Kirabi Shimon ben Yochai, in Pelik Bamem Adlikin, and Rabbi Yochanan in Pelik Chelik. The Gemara says in so many places, the Yehavu Bahu Einayu, they looked at certain things, the Nasu Gal Shalat Somos, and they became heaps of bones. They had that koach. Now where did they get the koach from? Says the Teras Chaim. Tamo de Milsenire. The reason for this phenomenon appears to me to be the following. Mishum de Shuraina Diena Belibosalyan. The muscles of the eye, meaning the power of the eye, derives from the heart. Asher mishkan haneshama v'kirbo. And the heart is the repository of the soul. V'nishmas tzadik gomor yochid v'doro k'Rabbi Eliezer v'chaveirov. And the soul of a completely righteous individual like Rabbi Eliezer and his colleagues is devuko bo yisporach afilu v'chayov. Is joined to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even in life. Kemosha Kosov, Vatem Hadvekam Hashem Elokechem, Chayim Kulechem Hayom. And you are joined to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even though you are still alive. Ki al kein, and therefore, Hashefa Yoreid Meito Yisporach, the flow of divinity comes down from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Al Nishmoso, to the soul of the tzaddik, Lo Yiporeid Olamis. And there is no gap and it never is severed. Vize sod hanavim. And that is the solution to the mystery of how prophets shahayu gozrim umischadishim bidivreim ososumosim. How prophets were able by their decree to perform miracles and wonders. Because in reality, by virtue of the fact that their soul is joined completely, totally with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they represent an extension of divinity. Ki al yedei tzinor ha-shefa ha-yoreid me-yitoyis porach aleihem tamid, ha-yosopihem u-ma-amorom ke-ma-amoro shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because of this bond, which is irrevocable, which joins the prophet to Hashem, what they say is an utterance of divinity, and when they open their mouth, it is a direct, as it were, connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and themselves. Ki'ilu hu ha-gozer u-mekayem. It is as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'chodu v'yatzmo is speaking and decreeing. That's what happens. The prophet and the tzaddik gomor is so joined to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he is an extension of the divine, and as an extension of the divine has the same powers kiviyochol as the divine himself. And this now brings us to the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu in Mitten Derinen. And this was the sin of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shehutzrich lahakos al hasela pa'amayim. The pasuk says he had to hit the rock twice. Why twice? Lefi she'al yedei ka'aso she'ko'as aleihem. Because since he got angry with them, v'yomer, and said, Shimuno hamorim, nifsak tzina or hashefa shohoyor yored olov tomid me'ito yisporach. The connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu was immediately severed. V'nechshav pu'uloso oz pu'ulas atzmo lo pu'uloso yisporach. And therefore whatever he did was regarded not as an extension of the divine, but merely as any human action. Al kein lo yotze umayim behako orishona, and that's why with the first mighty nothing happened. Because since he smote in anger, and when you are angry you are no longer in possession of prophecy, and therefore you are no longer an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so his hitting the rock at that moment was like you and me, it's that I've gone ishto. Bekasher hirgish badover, but after having smitten the rock, immediately Moshe Rabbeinu realized something is wrong. Is miyad hisir kaso milibo. Immediately he removed the kaas from his heart. Vehevin levavo kevorishonor should be vehechin levavo kevorishonor. And he prepared his heart as it was originally. Venocha olav ruach Hashem. And the spirit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu descended on him. Shefat zino ro. And in other words, coming through that conduit kivitachilo as originally, lochach, therefore, behakor shenia, when he came to smite the second time, yotze umayim rabim, water came out, ki oz peulas yisborach hoyes ozo. Because with the second smiting, having removed anger from his heart, it is no longer his own individual action, but his action as an extension of the divine. And the action as an extension of the divine was capable of performing miracles and bringing water out from a rock. So therefore, when we ask the question on rebellion, that the Dibur was not going to help because of Kaas, and therefore it was not Dibur Shel Nevuah. So we ask the question, and smiting it, if he is no longer a Navi, should be the smiting of an ordinary average individual, which will bring out nothing? The answer is, you're right. That's why he had to smite it twice. Because in reality, the first time when he smote it, he was still the Kaas. And therefore it was a smiting of an individual, not the smiting of a Navi. And then he understood what was going on, and he brought himself together and restored himself to his former glory, so that when he smote the rock a second time, it was the action of a Navi who is an extension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it is as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is declaring that water must come forth. So the Toras Chaim works in so beautifully with the thesis suggested by Rebbe. Now what I want to come on to now, we We have to leave a little bit over for next year, Mr. Shaw. What I want to come on to now is something very fascinating. I mean, La Havdol may have dollars. I want to tell you, Pablo Casals was once asked, what's the secret of great cello playing? And he said, and I always remember it because it made such a great deal of sense to me. He says, it's not the way you play the notes. It's the way you play the silences. It's a very, very mature and very wonderful observation. Now, what I mean by that is, we pass over the story and we concern ourselves with what the Torah says. We also have to be sensitive and alive to what the Torah does not say. And here again we come to the Ponim Yofos, but let me put a question here, and then we'll have a look at his answer. Everybody knows that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Veschanan, it's recorded, you're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. He davened and davened and davened, please let me go in. In fact, the Gemara even says that he davened as many tefillahs as the Gematria of Veschanan. Quite a few. Okay? In the hundreds. Now what happens in this week's Sedra? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, take your brother Aaron up to the top of the mountain. He's going to die. He's not going into where it's soil. And does he does? I would have imagined a person of the stature of Moshe Rabbeinu would say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe you'll allow him to go in. After all, he prayed for himself. He prayed hundreds and hundreds of times to be allowed to go in. So that's what I mean by playing the silences. All of a sudden, and that's it, who made Shom. And fine, that's exactly what happened. There was no protestation whatsoever. So how come when Moshe Rabbeinu was, when it affected him personally, he was prepared to daven these hundreds of tefillos, and when it came to Aharon, he did. And this is the question raised by the Ponim Yofos. I think it is a classic kasha. Says the Ponim Yofos. He offers about three or four answers. V'hine kvar kosavnu b'parshas kisisa. We have already written in Parshas Kisisa. Mashalo motzinu shehispalel Moshe ala Haron kemo shehispalel ala tzmo kidechisiv fo eschanan ala Hashem. Why did he not pray for Aharon as he prayed for himself? I would like to give you an answer, Lepip Shuto. Kamosha Piresh Rashi, I would like to answer based on what Rashi says on the words Bo'es Hahi, Leimor. I started to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bo'es Hahi. What was the Bo'es Hahi that Moshe Rabbeinu started to pray to be allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael? Says Rashi, She'achar she'kovashti Eretz Sichon V'yog. After the territory of Sichon and Og had been captured, and I was allowed to be present there, that's on the eastern part of the Jordan, and we know in many respects that the eastern part of the Jordan has similar halachos and kedusha to Eretz Yisrael. Says Moshe Rabbeinu, when I saw that I was allowed to come into Eivor HaYarden, I thought maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu has changed his mind. So in other words, had it not been for the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was allowed to come to Eivor HaYarden, it would never have occurred to him that there is a possibility that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to change his mind regarding the Gezeirah which was made not only on him but on Aharon as well. Dimisi, that's why I imagined Shema Huter Haneder. Maybe the vow which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made was rescinded because you see now he has allowed me to come to Eivor HaYarden. So without that habamina, without that assumption, Moshe Rabbeinu would never have even have prayed for himself. So therefore we know why he didn't pray for Aharon. Because there was no reason to suggest itself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was changing his mind in regard to the decree that Aharon was not allowed to go into Eretz Yisrael. Furthermore, Gam Yesh L'Taretz, I would also like to suggest another reason why Moshe Rabbeinu prayed for himself, but didn't pray for Aharon. He says, you know why? He says, Shehashavu alo hoyov elav eloshon, because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the decree after Mei Meriva on Moshe and Aharon, he didn't say you're both going to die. All he said was, Lochein lo saviu es hakohol hazeh. You are not going to be allowed to bring this people. In other words, you're not going to be allowed to go in as leaders. But the implication being that they might be allowed to go in, but not as leaders, as part of the people. The Yain Bozer Remez Misa. And there is no allusion to death. But rather that they would be deposed from their positions of leadership, as the Pasuk says, Yehoshua hu over lifneichem. So in regards to Moshe Rabbeinu and Aharon, who were both addressed after Mamer Evil, the declaration was not that they would die. The declaration was that as a result of this particular sin, they would no longer be allowed to lead the Bnei Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. That's all there was at that moment. But in regards to Aharon, at a subsequent moment, there came the following from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kach es Aharon v'yes Elazar b'no. Take Aharon and his son Elazar and bring them up to the top of the mountain. Aaron is going to die. Elazar is going to be the Kohen Gadol. So the decree now concerns death. And as the Ponim Yofos will point out, not only is there a decree of death, but there is also a decree which involves good, which is going to accrue to Elazar, the son of Aharon, as a result of Aharon's death. Namely, that Elazar is going to take over as Kohen Gadol. And we have a classic maxim in Jewish thought, and that is whenever a decree of HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings with it good to an individual, HaKadosh Baruch Hu never changes his mind. And Benodalo, when he was told, that the Gezerah is going to be that he's going to die, and that Elazar is going to be the Kohen Gadol instead of his father, there's no way he can pray now that Aharon should be saved. Because this decree also contains the information that good is going to come to Elazar as a result of the death of Aaron, namely to be appointed high priest. And we know that whenever a decree involves good, it can never be rescinded. As Samuel said to Saul, Korah Hashem Mamleches Yisrael Meyolecha, God has taken away the kingship of Israel from you, and is giving it to somebody else. And what Samuel was saying to Saul was, since the decree concerns good which is going to accrue to David as it was then, he thought, since good was going to come to David as a result of the decree, there is no way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will rescind it, even if part of the decree is bad for someone else. Let me just go over Baal Peh, the other explanation which he offers, which is a very beautiful explanation, which fits in with what we've been speaking about before. Without going into the Ponim Yofos' definition of what the sin of Moshe and Aharon was, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu became angry. And because he became angry, he did whatever he did. I mean, that's the Rambam. Now, you know and I know, when a person does things in anger, they're not done deliberately. They're done by accident. The person gets possessed with anger, so he does things he shouldn't do. Says the Ponim Yofos, Moshe Rabbeinu thought, and that's why he didn't pray for Aharon, because he thought that whereas Aharon's involvement in Mamer Evil, because they were both involved, and he was under the impression that Aharon's involvement was mazed, was deliberate, whereas Moshe Rabbeinu says, my involvement was only b'shogeg, because I did it because. So therefore, he didn't pray for Aharon because it was b'mazed, but he prayed for himself because he thought, since I only did it b'shogeg, I may be forgiven. Says the Ponim Yofos so majestic. That is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, at the end of Sefer Devarim, you can't go into Eretz Yisrael, because you were not Mekadosh Hashem. There was Chilul Hashem in what you did. And we have a Klal Gadol in Chazal, Echad Shogeg v'Echad Mezid b'Chilul Hashem. When it comes to the inyan of Chilul Hashem, whether you are involved b'Shogeg, or whether you are involved b'Mezid, the punishment is still the same. But that is the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu sought for himself to pray, but not for Aharon, because he was convinced that Aharon's involvement had been bemazed, whereas his involvement due to caste could be termed shogeg, and therefore he prayed for himself,
hoping or believing, more correctly, that a chet of Beshogeg would be forgiven. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to tell him, no, when it comes to Chilul Hashem, it's Echad Shogeg v'Echad Nesid. On the similar line, says the Panim Yopos, the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu didn't pray for Aharon is because when Aharon sinned around about Pesach, whatever the time it was that it was decreed that he should die, it was, as we know, let me just get the date here. Yes. We find that when Aharon was told to die, it was in Chodesh Av. And Moshe Rabbeinu thought that there are certain chatoyim that you need Yom Kippur to be mechaper. And therefore he didn't pray for Aharon because he thought there was no way in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu could forgive Aharon because there had been no Yom Kippur. Whereas when Moshe Rabbeinu came to die, which was then Zion Ador is when he died, that was after Yom Kippur. So therefore he was convinced that after Yom Kippur had passed, that there would be an opportunity for his teshuva to be accepted. And here again he made the mistake that when it comes to Chilul Hashem, not Teshuva and not Yom Kippur is Mechaper, but the only thing that is Mechaper is Misa, as the Gemara says in Yom. See, here we have an insight into some of the Inyonim in regards to the Chet of Meimoriv. Let me just close with one thought, and I think it is an important, I won't say the word pièce to our shiur, but important to recognize how to learn Tanakh. This week, we have a Haftorah which concerns Yiftach. Right? Now you and I, we've been told that the Yiftach, I mean to say, not one of the greatest. I mean, he's not a Shmuel. Metodas itzom. Yiftach is a shofate. If Yiftach is a shofate, a leader of our generation, of our people, you can rest assured that Yiftach is a man of a most extraordinary character. Let's have a look at the opening psukim of the Haftorah. Pasuk Zion in the Haftorah. Yiftach, he's a Ben Isha Zayna, etc., etc. They kicked them out of the house. And now they come after Yiftach and they say to him, please save us. Is Vayomer Yiftach Leziknei Gilad. And Yiftach says to the elders of Gilad, Halo atem sinei semosi. You hate me. Back to Goreshuni mi beis avi. And you kicked me out of my father's house. Umadu abosam elai. So why have you come to me ato kasher tzalochem? See, this is the terrible tragedy of the way people learn Tanakh. People learn a pasuk like that and says, you give me mafta when you want my money. And that's the way they learned the pasuk. The truth of the matter is, you couldn't wait to get rid of me. Now you need me, so you're coming with your talis and your tefillin with the sefer Torah and the whole lot. Says Rav Velvel Brisker, Metor does nitzo. A man who is destined to be a shofate in Israel, a man of that caliber doesn't make these statements. Says Rav Velvel, go back to the beginning of the Haftorah. Vatele deshes Gilad lobonim, and the wife of Gilad bore him children, vayigdalu bere hoisha. And the children of this woman grew up, vayigorishu es Yiftach. They kicked Yiftach out. Vayomrilo and said to him, lausin chalbe vesavinu, you will not inherit in our father's house, ki benisho acheresota, because you're the son of another woman.
What sort of a statement is this?
Inheritance has nothing at all to do with who your mother is. Inheritance has to do with who your father is. Yerusha goes after the father. Yerusha doesn't go after the mother at all. Says Reb Velvel, what are these people talking about? Ki venisho acheres oto. Go back to the beginning of the Haftorah. V'yiftach agiladi hoyogi barchal v'hu venisho zayna v'yole gilad es yiftach. The truth of the matter is, he is a Ben Isha Zona, and Vayolid does not mean that Gilad gave birth to him. Vayolid means he brought him up. He was an Asufi. He was a child who was left out in the streets, had been abandoned by his mother. That's what happened. So when the brothers came and said to him, Lo sinchal beveis avinu ki beni shoach heres ata, you can't inherit with us, because you're the son of a different woman. Nobody knows who your mother is. And since nobody knows who your mother is, nobody knows who your father is. You were picked up in the street. Our father brought you in. Viola doesn't mean that he begat him, as they say. Viola means he brought him into the house. Says Reb Velvel, that is what Yiftach says to the elders of Gilead who come to him. I was thrown out of my father's house, quote unquote, because they said to me that they don't know my parentage and therefore I can't inherit with them. You want to make me into your leader now. Don't you know the halacha that you're only allowed to appoint as a leader of our people somebody who is miyuchas? You cannot appoint a leader in Israel from somebody whose parentage is not known. So that's what his taina is. Not you've kicked me out and now you're running after me. The vort is I was sent out because I was not allowed to inherit. I wasn't allowed to inherit because nobody knows my mother and nobody knows my father. Because if they would know my father, then what do they mean by kicking me out and say you can't inherit because you're the son of another woman? Women have got the mother has got nothing at all to do with inheritance. It has to do with the father. So when they kicked me out of the house as the Chariah, that I never belonged there in the first place, they didn't know who my mother was, and they didn't know who my father was. So now that you come to me to make me into your leader, you have a halachic dilemma. You can't make me into your leader the way the halacha stands, because you don't know my mother, and you don't know my father. And whereas yichus on certain occasions is a luxury, at this particular occasion, it's a necessity. So we leave it over on that note.